We're holding on to Samach Ches Amud Aleph, the third line. The Mishnah describes, so again, the whole Perek is dealing with cases where a person sells a certain thing, a certain type of real estate, and the question is what exactly is and isn't included in that. So we said you sell a house, you sell a chotzer, etc. So our Mishnah had said that if you sell a bathhouse, so as a number of things that are not included because they're metalplin. Then the Braisa had said that if you sell, I'm selling a, you see, if you say I'm selling a bathhouse and everything in it, then those metalplin are included, but then there are things that are not included, namely the reservoirs of water and the store of wood, because both of those things, the water and the wood, are equally well usable for other things besides for the bathhouse, and therefore you can't say necessarily that he meant to sell those as well. Any more so than, for example, when a person sells a house, that he would sell the food in the house, let's say. However, then we said, if he says that I'm selling you the Beis HaMelechitz v'chol tashmishav and all the things that are needed, that are used for it, then it includes even the water and the wood, because the fact is, you need water and wood in order to run a bathhouse. So the Gemara tells in this connection, so there was a person who sold a bathhouse to somebody else and used that expression that I'm selling you in this case, actually, it wasn't a bathhouse. He said, so here he said, I'm selling you an olive press and all tashmishav. So previously, we learned that an olive press has various things. You have things that are fixed in the ground, and those are sold with it. You have things that are movable and not, etc. In this case, outside the bathhouse, outside the olive press, there were stores. Mainly, those stores would be places where they sold bread and wine and things like that. Hanus in Gemara terminology doesn't mean necessarily like a grocery store like we have nowadays. It Hanus in Gemara terminology many times means something like a restaurant or something like that. Whatever the case, he sold bread and wine there mainly. But also, so those have nothing to do with the olive press. But to have a shot shumshumi, they also use these stores to spread out sesame seeds for drying. Where afterwards, once the sesame seeds were dried out, then they would bring them to the press and they would press them, because in a press, you're not just pressing olives; you can press other things for oil as well, including sesame. So now the question is that enough to make that those stores are part of kol tashmishav of the olive press? Also, so he came to Rabbi Yosef. They had an argument between them, the buyer and the seller, whether those stores are included. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, Tanena, well, we learned in a braisa. If he says that I'm selling you a bathhouse and all of its tashmishim, how they call them, and they're all sold. So the same thing over here. Then if you're saying I'm selling a Beis HaBad, an olive press, and kol tashmishav, then yes, it's going to include the stores, because the fact is, yes, they're mainly used for another purpose, but they do, you can say the same thing about wood and water for a bathhouse. They're mainly used for other purposes, but the fact is they are used for the bathhouse as well. Abaya says not so simple. Hatani Reb Chiya ain't kolam mechorin. Doesn't Reb Chiya teach a braisa that says that they're not all sold? Even if he says v'chol tashmishav, Ela Amar Ravashi chazina. So Ravashi says, you know what? We have to look at the situation. What did he actually say? I amale beis habad v'chol tashmishav v'ilein matzra noha. If he said, "I'm selling you the Beis Habad, the olive, the press, the house where the press, the building where the press is located, and all Tashmishav," and he added the words "Ve'ilin Matzrinah," and these are its boundaries, and he mentioned the boundaries, and those include the area where those stores are, then Koni, then he's Koni them Ve'iloi Lo Koni, and if not, then he's not. So Rashbam explains like this. Now, first of all, the halacha Rashbam points out would be like Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi is Basra. We have a general rule after the time of Abaya and Rava that if a later Amora says something against the earlier ones, then the halacha is like him. So even though Abaya is objecting to what Rabbi Yosef is saying, even though Rabbi Yosef is saying a blanket statement, they're always sold, and Abaye is questioning that, we go according to Rav Ashi because he's the one who he's later on, and he says sometimes one, sometimes the other. So Rashbam explains like this. If he weren't to say b'chol tashmishal, if he only said even matzra naha, then it would be, now earlier in the perek, we had a concept called mitzorim hirchivloi, which is that sometimes, imagine for example, let's say that earlier in the perek, it talked about, for example, that you're selling one particular building in an apartment building, one particular house, one particular apartment in an apartment building, or one particular house in an apartment complex or whatever. Even if you mention mitzorim achitzonim, so you mention, for example, the outer boundaries of the entire building, doesn't mean you sold the entire building. It's called mitzorim hushehirchivloi. It means that he gave the wider boundaries because it was difficult to market based on the narrower boundaries. Let's say another example, the Gemara said, was as far as the fields, where you might say, for example, the field that's located in this valley, and the boundaries of that valley are such and such, doesn't mean he sold him the entire valley, just means that he sold him a particular field in there, and just he had no easier way than to mark the borders than to give the entire broad borders. So if he had not used the words v'chol tashmishav, then the stores would not be included, and nor would the reservoirs of wood or of water. Because mitzarim hirchavoy, when he says v'chol tashmishav, plus he adds the boundaries, and the fact is, these stores where they sell bread and wine and are also used for spreading out sesame seeds are also within the bordery, are also within the borders. Then, since they are, after all, used for the Beis Habad, and he said b'chol tashmishav, and he mentioned the boundaries, then therefore they are included. So that's the Rashbam's first explanation. Then the Rashbam brings another lashon that the other way around, a different girsa that says, on the contrary, Rav Ashi says, if he were to say b'chol tashmishav and mention the boundaries, then he wouldn't acquire those stores, because then the ve'elu matzra naha, these are the boundaries, wouldn't refer to the stores. They would refer only to the Beis Habad, and we would say mitzarim u'shehirchivloi. But if he doesn't use the words v'chol matzra naha, then he would be koneh the stores. The Rashbam doesn't like that explanation and prefers the first explanation, that if he says both, then he does sell the stores, and if he doesn't say both, then he doesn't. Okay. Again, as we've said throughout this perek, hakol k'minhag hamedina, all of these dinim are going to depend on what's done locally. Nowadays, I suppose if you were to sell a building anyway, you would specify exactly what's included and what's not included. So obviously then these dinim wouldn't be applicable anyhow, because you would specify what's included and what's not. But if for whatever reason you didn't, then and if you have, there's no particular local minhag, what's included when you're selling a building or whatever, then you would follow the dinim over here. Mishnah says, "Hamocher is ha'ir." A person sells a city. Nowadays you buy a whole city, but you think of, for example, the Poritzim in olden times, and then in Poland, for example, often owned. You have in all the stories where they owned entire villages, cities. Even earlier than that, for example, you have a medrash that tells where one time Reb Taufim, who was very rich. Said where Reb Akiva says to Reb Taufin, who was very rich, what happened was Reb Akiva had noticed that Reb Taufin, even though of course he's giving tzedakah, he's not giving as much as Reb Akiva felt that Reb Taufin should, given his wealth. So he doesn't want to go out and tell him openly, because after all, Reb Taufin was his Rebbe. So he offers him one day, how about give me some of your money to invest, and I'll go buy a city for you. And Reb Taufin accepts the proposal. Rabbi Akiva takes the money and distributes it to tzedakah among poor Talmid Chachamim and other people who need. And then later on, when Reb Taufin asks him, so where's the city? Then Rabbi Akiva shows him the Pasuk in Tehillim, that talks about the greatness of somebody who gives tzedakah and upholds Torah. And Reb Taufin was actually very happy with that Rabbi Akiva had invested his money so wisely and done it in a way not to openly confront him and say, you're not doing the way you're supposed to, and he gave even more money to distribute for tzedakah in the future. Anyway, the point is that you have, in the times of the Gemara, and in even closer to our times, in pre-modern times, it was very common that you have an individual person owns a whole city. So here you're talking about you selling that city to somebody else. So, without specifying macha batim, then automatically with the city he's selling the houses, because the houses are considered, the houses make up the city. The Rashbam adds all the more so the chatzeres make up the city. You don't even have to mention those, because the main thing of a city is the airspace of the city, but it means even the houses. Boris Shikhanum Oris, you're selling all of the water holes or the various kinds of water pits that are located in the city. Now, earlier in the Perek, we said that when you sell a house that has a bird in it, then the bird is not included. One difference is that a house, first of all, a house is used in a much different way than a bird. So therefore, they're considered two separate entities. But also, there was a point, the Rimi Gash makes a point, that houses don't usually contain boris, so therefore it's an unusual thing, and therefore it's not necessarily included. On the other hand, a chotzer, for example, we said more commonly includes a bor, and all the more so a city, so therefore they're automatically included in the sale. Merchatzois, you also include the bathhouses, because again, in a chotzer may or may not have a bathhouse. It's not like every chotzer has one, but a city of any decent size is going to have a bathhouse, and therefore it's part of the basic description of a city. So those are included. The shovchos and the birdhouses in the city, people would set up, as we've learned here and there in Shas, we learned in Bava Kama about it, for example, it came up earlier in Ar Masechta as well, where you have birdhouses that are meant for you have wild doves or feral doves, ones that are sort of tame but not completely, or that reverted to being wild or whatever. They fly around from place to place, and they use these birdhouses as temporary places to nest and whatever. So those are included in the sale as well. The sale also includes any olive presses that are in the city and any beis ha-shulchan. Now, usually beis ha-shulchan in the Mishnah, usually in Gemara terminology, beis ha-shulchan means fields that need to be irrigated. As opposed to the usual distinction is, you have beis ha-baal, fields that are just watered naturally by rainfall, and then you have beis ha-shulchan, ones where rainfall is not enough for them, and you need to irrigate them. Here we're going to see in the Gemara that the word beis ha-shulchan in our Mishnah does not necessarily have that meaning. It has a different meaning. And one reason is why the Gemara, what's going to force the Gemara to say differently, is because why should there be a difference? Why should the beis ha-shulchan, if we mean irrigated fields, why should those be included with the sale, but the fields that are irrigated only by rainwater not? So therefore, the Gemara is going to have to understand beis ha-shulchan in a different sense. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, avaloyas ha-metaltlin, but the metaltlin and the city are not included. Because again, even fine, the guy is obviously selling the whole city and moving someplace else, he could still take along the metaltlin with him. Rashbam points out that means even things that are used heavily with the house, like for example, things that are even like part of the furniture, like the stoves and like the ovens and stoves and things like that, or the more so the food, like the wheat and barley, those wouldn't automatically be included in the sale of the city. If he tells him that I'm selling you the city and everything in it, then it's different. Then even if there are animals or slaves in the city, and those are for sure metaltlin, and obviously he could use them someplace else, but now that he said the words, then even those, then all of those are sold together with the city as well. And that would include all the other kinds of metaltlin as well. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Mocher es ha'ir, Mocher es ha'santer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, when you sell the city, then with it, automatically, you've sold the santer, and we're going to see in the Gemara a long discussion of what the santer is. So the Gemara starts off. When we say in the Mishnah that if you said, I'm selling you the city and everything in it, then even avodim, so we said, if you said I'm selling the city and you didn't specify everything in it, then the metaltlin, including the avodim, are not sold. Only if you said then the avodim are sold. So the Gemara says, shouldn't we be able to prove from this Mishnah avdim metaltladomi that slaves avodim knanim or considered like metaltlin? Now the point is, later in Ar Masechta, when we deal with certain dinim of Yerusha and things like that, the question becomes whether avodim are considered like karka. Now, as far as dinim, there are a number of dinim where avodim definitely are considered like karka. For example, we learned back in Kiddushin that just like karka is acquired with kesef or shtar or chazaka, unlike metaltlin that are acquired with hagbah or meshicha or what have you, the same way Avodim, Knanim are acquired with Kesef Shtar or Chazaka. And there's a number of other areas in Halacha in Bav Metzia. We learned, for example, that the same way as the Dinim of Aynah don't apply to land, the same way they don't apply to Avodim, there's a variety of Dinim throughout Shas that depend on that point. The Torah makes a Hekish in Parshas Bahar between Avodim and Karka. It uses the expression about Avodim, you're going to bequeath them to your children as a land holding. So we learn from that Avodim are considered like land for various purposes in Halacha. But the question is, in Loshen Bnei Adam, the Rashbam explains, when it comes to in common parlance, in common talk that people use, are also Avodim considered part of metal, are they also considered part of Karka, or are they considered metalplin? So the Gemara discusses that point later on in the Masechta, and it does not bring in our Mishnah. Now, why not, says Rav Acha? On the face of it, from our Mishnah, we should be able to prove that they're not considered like Karka. If they were considered like karka, nizdab and agav masa, then they should be sold automatically together with the city. When you're selling the city, you're automatically selling all the land in the city. Well, if avodim are considered like land in common usage, equivalent to the usage in the Torah, then they would be sold together with it. So therefore, so we should be able to prove that no, on the contrary, they're considered like metalplin. That's why they're not included, unless he says he v'chomash v'seicha. And yet, the sugya later on Daf Kuf Nun does not even bring in our Mishnah. Why not? So the Gemara answers back, the Alamai, Abduk Metaltle Domi. Well, so what are you going to answer? Avodim are considered fully like Metaltlin. My Afilu. Well, then you have to ask, if that's the case, then why would the Mishnah use the word Afilu on them? In other words, that you would say, when the Mishnah says that if you say, then even Behemoth Avodim, implying, in other words, even Avodim, who are not otherwise considered Metaltlin, are considered Metaltlin. So no, on the contrary, then, seems that not. Avodim are not Metaltlin, otherwise there'd be no reason for the word Afil. Okay, Tosfos points out that the fact is you'd still have the behemoths. The behemoths are definitely not considered like karka, and even if you found a way to end for the slaves, you would still have to explain why it says afilu in connection with the animals. Evidently, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, there's a difference between different kinds of metaltlin, ones that move on their own, well, then the same thing as far as karka. So the answer is within metaltlin themselves, we have to distinguish between ones that move on their own, ones that are alive, behemoths and slaves, where not only are they metaltl, but they move on their own. And for certain purposes in halacha, we say they have a different din than other kinds of metaltlin. And the chiddush is that even so, even though they move on their own and they could easily walk out of the city themselves, nevertheless they're still included when he says he b'chomash v'sefa. Well, then fine. Afilu tema avdekim a karka dummy. Then you could say yes, avodim are considered like karka, even in common speech. Nevertheless, you could still say shiny men makarka denayid lemakarka denayid. Nevertheless, you could still distinguish between karka that moves on its own, in other words, an eved who is considered part of karka for purposes of halacha, but nevertheless, the fact is, unlike karka, he moves versus karka that not. So in other words, we would say like this, the Mishnah is telling us, when you sell a city, yes, you're including all the land, but an avodim ought to be included as well, but the difference is that avodim move on their own, and therefore they're not included. But when you say, not only are you selling all the land, and not only are you selling the metaltlin that don't move by themselves, like the furniture, you're even selling the metaltlin, you're even selling the things that move on their own, whether you consider them karka or whether you consider them metaltlin, such as animals, which definitely would be considered metaltlin, or a slave, which might be one or the other, they're all sold because you said, so the bottom line is you can't really prove one way or the other from this Mishnah whether avodim are considered in the category of karka or not, and therefore that would be why that sugya later on in the ninth parak of our Masechta does not bother mentioning our Mishnah. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hamocher Seir Mocher is a santer. So we said that then if he sells the city, then he's automatically with it sold the santer. So So we have so my santer. So what is the definition of santer? Now there's no question. Tosfos points out on Omid Beis, there's no question that a santer sometimes means a certain type of official. Tosfos refers to, for example, a medrash that mentions, for example, a woman who married a santer. So obviously a santer is some kind of official, but here the Gemara is going to give a couple of other possibilities. So hocha tavdimu bar machad nisa. So here in Bavel, they explain that the santer is the bar machad nisa. Now within that, there are a few different explanations among Rishonim. The Rashbam says it means like this. You have somebody in the city, he's a slave of the mayor of the city, and his job is he remembers where the boundaries of everybody's fields are. They didn't have, in those days, like you have nowadays, a central real estate office where everybody's deeds are located. Everybody had their own deeds, and even you have in the previous perek, the whole discussion of chazaka revolves around the point that people don't keep their deeds forever. So you didn't have any central registry where you could look up this area belongs to this person, that belongs to that person. Rather, you'd have the mayor would have an eved whose job it is to remember those details and be able to point it out. Somebody wants to know, who does this land belong to? This land looks good. I'm interested in buying it. You would go over to this Bar Machad Nisa, and he would tell you who owns that land, and then you take things from there. That's according to the Rashbam. There's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim what the Bar Machad Nisa is. Rabbi Gershom over here says that it means somebody who related to that, but not exactly. He says it's the person who has the city records and keeps track of who paid what amount of taxes. So he also knows, like the Rashbam says, where the boundaries of the fields are and things like that. But primarily his job is to look after who paid their various real estate taxes and how much. And Mefoshim say, based on that, the idea is, the Gemara is going to go on to say, another definition of santer is a certain type of field. So then he's called that because he works with those fields. So therefore he himself comes to be called the santer after those fields. And then you have the Rashbam quotes also from Rabbeinu Hanano that it means a guard of the city. The word santer would then be related to the word notar, nun tes resh, which is, you have it sometimes in Lashon Kodesh, and more often Aramaic, that means to guard. You have a Lashon Shir HaShirim, for example, Samuni Neteres Akramim, that the girl over there in Shir HaShirim, representing the Jewish people, says they put me in charge of guarding the vineyards. You have at the end of Shir HaShirim as well, Nasan Asakerem Manotrim. So it's a rare Shodesh in Lashon Kodesh, and it's more common in Aramaic, meaning to guard. So Rashbam brings from Rabbeinu Hanano that the santo is the city guard. So all of that is one definition. Bar Machad Nisa would be then again either the one who knows the boundaries of the fields, the one who knows the ownership and the tax status of the fields, or the city guard. Shimon ben Avtolmus Oimer Bogi. Shimon ben Avtolmus says a whole different explanation. A santo is not a person; it means the valleys full of fields that surround the city. According to him, that's the definition of santo. So the Gemara points out, Manda Omer Bar Machad Nisa. Well, the first opinion, the opinion from Bavel, that says that it means the Bar Machad Nisa, this slave or servant who serves the city. Kol Shekhen Bagi, he would say, all the more so the fields around the city which stay in place, then those would be sold. So not only the city itself, but all the fields around it, all the real estate around it. Where food is grown to feed the people in the city. But Manda Omer Bagi, but Shimon ben Avtolmus, who says that it means the field, he would say, I'm a Bar Machad Nisa, loy mizdaben. He would say, even appointed of Shimon Gamliel, the Bar Machad Nisa is not sold together with the city unless specified. Because after all, like we said before, he's an Eved, and he moves around. Even if we consider an Eved like Karka, he still moves around, unlike the Karka, and therefore not necessarily would he be sold. So the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, based on Badam and based on Sholfin, that along with the city, automatically the all of
sorry for is, I'm well, sorry for mentioning. I personally would say that since it plays such an important role, If it's sold to someone else without this person, people are going to be lost. It's a very important part of the land.
That may be, but, you know, on the other hand, that may be. But, you know, the key to a house is also a very important thing. And we looked previously that if you sell a house without specifying, then the key is not automatically included, right?
Right, it depends which key it was, which
right.
door.
Well, that's
was
the thing. So Shimon ben Avtolmos is going to say, yes, it's a very important thing for the city. Without him, you don't have the city records. Nonetheless, though, then better you should specify him. If not, then you may have sold the appointed. Keep in mind, all this is only appointed of Shimon Gamliel anyway. According to the Chachamim, there's nothing even to talk about. They didn't mention that the Santer is sold in the first place. Bechal, by the way, there's quite a discussion among the Rishonim whether the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel or not. The Gemara elsewhere mentions the halacha is usually like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Nevertheless, over here the Rif and the later post, and then the later poskim don't paskin like him, and the Rosh in fact wonders why. But in any case, according to the Chachamim, then for sure the Santer is not sold, whether we define the Santer as the outlying fields or whether we define it as the slave. We're talking within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion, and Shimon ben Avtolmos is saying even Reb Shimon Gamliel is not going to say the santer, as in the slave, is sold unless otherwise specified. Yes, he's important, but fine. So are the fields important, and then according to the Chachamim, they're not included unless specified.
Okay.
So the Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, Beis HaBadim, Beis HaSholchin, you sell the city, then automatically the olive presses and the Beis HaSholchin are included. Now, Savaruha, the Bnei HaYeshiva thought to think, my Sholchin, what do we mean by Beis HaSholchin over here? We don't mean the usual definition throughout Shas of irrigated fields, because again, there's no reason, Tosfos points out, there's no reason to distinguish between irrigated fields and ones that are naturally watered by rainfall. So therefore, we have to understand it differently. So the Chachamim thought to say, my shochen bogim, that the word shochen means the fields. And why would fields be called shochen, whether they're watered by rainwater or not? Even when it comes to rain, you have an expression in the Pasuk that speaks of Hashem sending out water to the outlying areas. So we see that rain is also used, the word shalach, is also used in connection with rain, so therefore Beis HaShochen would mean any fields that require rain, whether they also require irrigation or not. Well, Bishleim Alamanda Omar Bar Machvanisa, well then according to the definition in Bavel that the Santer is the Bar Machvanisa, fine, so we understand what's going on in Mishnah. Omar Tanakama Bagi Mizdatni, the Tanakama says that the valleys, the fields are sold because they stay in place, Bar Machvanisa loy mizdaben, but the Bar Machvanisa, as important as he is to the functioning of the city, nevertheless, he's not automatically sold because he's an Eved and he moves around. The Osir of Shimon Gamliel Lameimar, Afila Bar Machvanisa nami mizdaben, and of Shimon Gamliel comes and adds that also the Bar Machvanisa is sold. So according to that opinion, the Mishnah reads very straightforward. But according to Shimon ben Avtolmos, who says that Reb Shimon Gamliel's santer means the fields, well then, Tanakama Nami Hachukama, isn't the Tanakama also saying that the fields are included? If we understand Beis HaShochin to mean the fields, then both, and you say that santer also means the fields, then the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel are saying exactly the same thing. So how is Shimon ben Avtolmos going to understand our Mishnah? And the answer is me savret my shochin bagi. You're thinking that shochin in our Mishnah means the fields. It doesn't. Loi. No, Shimon ben Avtolmos would say my shochin ginun yosa. The word shochin means the gardens that are near the city. So they're called shochin not because they have to be irrigated, but because they produce branches and fruit. Shenema, as you have a pasuk in Shashinim shlochayich ardes rimonim, your gardens are an orchard of pomegranates. This is Hashem praising the Jewish people in the marshal over there, the man praising the woman for her beauty and her grace and everything else. And that's Hashem praising us Jewish people for our qualities. And he mentions over there the point that your shlochayim, your gardens are like an orchard of pomegranates. So we see that the word shlochayim can refer to gardens and orchard and the orchards. And the reason is Tosfos says because you find the word shalach in connection with a tree growing branches, you find psukim that use the Shorash Sholach for that. Well, then, in that case, so now we understand the Machlokas. So Aval Bagi Lo Mizdavim. So the Tanakhama would say that the gardens are sold because the gardens, it's not just that you grow fruit over there, you also, the gardens are places where you stroll around it and you enjoy yourself. So therefore, it's like the house in that sense. It's a place for you to relax in. So those would be included according to the Tanakhama. Aval Bagi Lo Mizdavim, but not the fields surrounding the city, which those are not meant for relaxation or anything like that. Those are just meant to work agriculturally. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that even the fields are sold as well. So according to Shimon ben Thomas, we can also understand the machlokas, provided that we understand Shulchan doesn't mean fields, but rather gardens. Okay. So all of that is one version of the discussion in the Gemara. Ikadamri. Now there are those who started with the opposite way of looking at it. The my shochin ginun yosa. Another version, savrua my shochin ginun yosa. Another way of understanding of how the discussion went is that the Bnei HaYeshiva began with the assumption that shochin means ginun yosa, means the gardens, and then they asked the shleim lamanda amabagi. I can understand, according to the opinion, that Santer means the fields, which is Shimon ben Avtolmos' opinion. So then we understand the flow of the Mishnah. Omer Tanakama Ginun Yosa. The Tanakama is saying that the gardens are sold. That Ginun Yosa is Daben. So Bishleim Alamanda Omer Bagi. So it works out well according to the opinion that it means the fields. Omer Tanakama Ginun Yosa means the Tanakama had said that the gardens are sold, the Mizdaben. Bagi Loi Mizdabni, but the fields are not. And then Shimon Gamliel says that you sold the center, which according to Shimon ben Avtolmos means the fields. So then we understand the flow of the Mishnah. But if you start with the assumption that Shulchan means the gardens, and now all of a sudden you're going to say, and now you're going to say that that Santer means the Bar Machvanissa, the slave who serves the city in whatever capacity, then how does the flow of the Mishnah go? The Tanakama is saying that the gardens are sold, implying but not the fields, and Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that the Santer is sold. What does one have to do with the other? In that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, if you sell the city, you sold the fields and the Santer. So, in other words, the implication of the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel just says the Santer implies he knew that the other Chachamim were saying the Santer is not sold. So he's saying, no, I'm telling you the Santer is sold. And what would the Santer have to be if it meant the Bar Machmanissa? If all the Tanakhama was saying was the gardens are sold, the fields are not, then Rav Shimon Gamliel should be addressing that point as well. That would seem to imply that the Tanakhama is saying the Santer means the slave, and Rav Shimon Gamliel therefore is saying that, yes, he is sold. But in other words, that the Tanakhama would say that the fields are already sold with the city. So then, according to the opinion that Santer means the Bar Machvanissa, how is our Mishnah going to work? And the answer is, you're going the wrong way about it. Mi Sabat my Shochen Ginun Yosa. You're starting with the assumption that shochan means the gardens, based on what we just said, because they produce branches and the word sholach can be used for that. But no, my shochan bogi. No, as a matter of fact, the shochan means the fields, because after all, the pasuk uses the word sholach in connection with rain that falls on them. So then, according to that opinion, we would say the fields are sold, the Bar Machvanissa is not. But also, Rav Shimon Gamliel lemeimar, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel comes and says, "Afilu Bar Machvanissa mizdaben," that even the Bar Machvanissa is sold. So, in other words, according to both the explanation in Bavel and the explanation of Shimon ben Avtolmos, either way, you can make the Mishnah flow smooth. If you say that the definition of Santer is the fields, then the Tanakhama would say that they're not sold, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would say, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that if we say that Santer means the fields, then the Tanakhama would be saying that the Beis HaShochen, meaning we would say then that the So according to the explanation in Bavo, the flow of the Mishnah would be that the Tanakhama had said the fields are sold, only the Bar Machmanisa is not, and the word Sholchin in the Mishnah therefore can refer to refers to fields. So he would say they are included, but the city watchman or the city record keeper or whatever is not, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says he is. Then according to Shimon of Tumos, rather, who says that the fields aren't automatically sold, and Santer means the fields, he would say that Beis HaShochen, earlier in the Mishnah, means the garden. So he would say those are sold, the fields are not. And then Shimon Gamliel was saying the fields as well are sold. But according to him, according to Shimon of Tumos, both of them would agree that the Bar Machmanisa is not sold together with the city. So the Mishnah can flow well according to either of them. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Amos, Santer Einem Mocher, and Kumus Mocher. Rabbi Yehuda says the Santer is not sold like the Tanakama, but he says the Ankumus is sold. The Ankumus is the city clerk, the one who writes down. So before we said that Rabbeinu Gershom understood the Santer to be the one who knows how much everybody has paid in taxes and so forth. Here, Rashbam explains that's actually the definition of Ankomus. The word Ankomus, the Yad Ramah explains, Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, is related to the word Komus, which means a pen, because he uses his pen to write down the city records, how many fields are there, how many houses are there, how many people are there, so that everybody pays their appropriate amounts of taxes. So that official is called the Ankomus. So he's like the city clerk. So if Yehuda says the Santer is not sold, but the Ankomus is. The Rashbam, by the way, points out that this Braisa comes from Tesefta, and there are actually different Gersois over here. Later on, the Gemara is going to flip around the opinions. And in fact, you look in Tesefta, you'll find the opinions flipped around, because based on what the Gemara is saying over here. But then Rashbam says, then there's a different Gersa that to begin with over here says that neither one is sold, and then later on that would change the Gersa later in the Gemara. Tosfos also discusses and analyzes that Gersa. Anyway, the point is, the Gersa we have in front of us is Rabbi Yehuda is saying the Santer is not sold, but the Ankomus is sold together with the city. Well, my lab mid Ankomus Gabra, Santer Nami Gabra. Well, wouldn't it be logical to say that since the Ankomus is unquestionably a person, then therefore the Santer is also a person, because that would explain why the Braisa puts them together. Well, then that would support the opinion of the people of the Chachamim in Bavel that the Santer is the one who knows all the boundaries of the fields or the tax situation or the guard, whatever, rather than Shimon ben Avtolmos' explanation that it means the fields surrounding the city. And again, Tosfos points out there's no question that the word Santer can mean a certain kind of person. The question is whether also it can mean fields or not. Anyway, the Gemara says, Midiria, what kind of a question is that? Hakadisa. Each one could be its own thing. So what? So the Santer would mean the fields. Fine. The Braisa can still put them together. The fact is that the fields and the Ankomus are still necessary for the ongoing functioning of the city. So the Braisa puts them together for that reason, not necessarily to imply that both of them are people. So the Gemara says, well, Mimotis Amritochi. Fine, but could you possibly say like that? But Santer means in this Braisa means the fields. Hakatani Sefer, the Braisa continues, Avaloi Shiareha, that when you sold the city, you have not automatically sold Shiareha. Shiareha literally means it's leftovers. We'll explain later on in the Gemara what Shiareha means. Anyway, so those are not automatically sold with the city, and also not its outlying villages. The word B'nai Seha, you find in many places in Chumash and the rest of Tanakh, you'll have a big city and then you'll have the villages around it that are called B'nai Seha, which literally means daughters, because they depend on the big city like the way daughters depend on their parents. So those would be villages where the farmers, for example, live, and they supply food to the city, and in return, the people in the city supply them with things that they need, things that are manufactured, and they teach them Torah, and they lane for them, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so those are not included in the sale automatically. V'loy choshen hamuktima, also not the choshim that are set aside for it. Choshim, the Rashbam explains, is means forests. You find the word chodesh in a pasuk in Yechezkel, for example, where and then it's used again often more often in Targum, and it means a forest. So also you haven't automatically sold the forests that are near the city and that are muktim for it, meaning they're near the city, they're open to the city. And they're set aside for the use of the people in the city. In other words, they're not stam hefker forests. These are forests where the people in the city are able to go regularly and cut firewood or graze their animals or whatever it is. But those are not automatically included in the sale. V'loy bivrin shal chaya v'shal ofis v'shal dogim, and also automatically with the sale of the city is not included enclosures for wild animals or birds or fish, various kinds of enclosures. In the case of wild animals, it would be surrounded by walls. In the case of birds, also. In the case of fish, we're talking about fish ponds. So all of those things have a chashivus of their own, and they're not automatically sold together with the city. Ve'amrinan. So now the Bnei HaYeshiva explained when we said that the shiareha are not sold. My shiareha bizli. What does the shiareha mean? Means what's called in Aramaic bizli or my bizli. So what is bizli in turn? Later on, I guess that term stopped being used, and the Chachamim weren't familiar with it. Amar Abba piski bogi. So the Abba says means sections of the valley, sections of the fields that are separated from the other ones by rocks. So in other words, you have they're all fields that are used to provide food for the city, but they're separated. You can't plow them, you can't work them together with the rest of the fields because there's hard ground, there's rocky ground interrupting between them and the other fields. So therefore we're saying that those the ones that are right next to the city, those are sold with it on the face of it. But the pisky buggy, the ones that are further away, the one not so much further away, but the ones that are separated by non-agricultural land in between, then therefore those are not included. Rabbi Gershom actually gives a different explanation. He says pisky bogi would mean small fields, and regular bogi means larger. Anyway, but according to the Rashbam, the point is that we're distinguishing between whether they're directly adjacent to the city or whether not, or whether you have this hard ground, this hard rocky ground in between. Well, the implication is pisky bogi who delay mizdabni. Only those pisky bogi are not sold because they're separated by hard ground. You can't work them. You can't do agricultural work in them the same together with the other ones. Hard bogi atzman mizdabni. It seems that the fields themselves are sold. So then, in that case, then the question is that So here we have Shimon ben Avtumus in our Gemara, Issan Omer Aleph, was saying that Santer means the pis, means the vet, means the field, and according to him, according to the Tanakhama, they're not automatically sold, and we presumably Rabbi Yehuda is part of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and yet over here we're saying that the fields themselves are sold, and only the piski bogi are not sold. So the Gemara says April. You have to flip around the two opinions in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Santer Mocho and Pumus Enim Mocher. Rabbi Yehuda would say, well, not just that we're concerned about that Rabbi Yehuda necessarily has to be among the Chachamim, but also because the beginning of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda had clearly said that the Santer that the Santer is not sold, meaning that he holds like Chachamim. So how over here would he all of a sudden be saying that the fields are sold and just the pisky bogi are not? So the answer is epoch. You have to flip it around. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Santer Mocher, but Ankomus ain't in Mocher. Rabbi Yehuda would say the Santer is sold, the Ankomus is not. Okay, so the Santer then could be the fields, like Shimon ben Avtumus says. And there you go. He's being consistent and saying that within the fields themselves, only the ones that are right next to the city, but not the shiareha, not the ones that are further away because they're separated by rocks. The problem with that is how could you possibly say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah? We see that Rabbi Yehuda holds like the Chachamim, the Katani Sefer, because the end of that Braisa continues, as we said, that with the city you have not sold the Shireha or Bnei Seha or the outlying villages. Reb Shem Gamliel says that no, when you sell a city, you do sell Bnei Seha. You do sell the suburbs, the surrounding villages. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. So Reb Shimon Gamliel holds like this. He holds that the Santer is sold, as it said in our Mishnah. He also holds that Bnei Seha are sold. Santer, we're in the middle of discussing whether it means the fields or whether it means the city, whether it means the city record keeper. But in any case, Reb Yehuda, who says in the Braisa that Bnei Seha are not sold, clearly doesn't agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel. So how could we say that when he said that, how could we flip around the Braisa and say that he says that the Santer is sold, and say then that the Santer means the fields that are near the city, but not the ones that are further away, then it's going to come out that he's so does he hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel, or does he not? So the Gemara says, fine, that could be Reb Yehuda Savale Kavasei Bechada or Polagale Bechada. You could say he agrees with Reb Shimon Gamliel on one thing, and he disagrees with him on something else. He would agree with him as far as the Santer, but that it's sold. But he would disagree as far as Bnei Seha. Reb Shimon Gamliel says those are also sold. Reb Yehuda would say that those are not sold. So we could make it work out that way, provided that we flip around and say that Reb Yehuda had said that the Santer is sold, and that would still work according to the understanding of Shimon ben Avtomos that Santer means the fields. So again, the Rashbaman pointed out, and Tosfos discusses that there is a different girsa. That to begin with, the Gemara had said that to begin with, when the Gemara had brought the Braisa had said that neither one of them is sold. And then in that case, then the Gemara doesn't have to say epoch over here. It just says that Rabbi Yehuda, we're not flipping things around. We're just saying, unlike the original version that we brought, that neither the Santer nor the Ankomus is sold. Now we're going to say the Santer is sold and the Ankomus is not. So first, the flow of the Gemara would be, first we thought, again, they're both people since they're being placed together. The Gemara had said that no, it doesn't mean anything. Instead of the umi motis amrit hachi, instead the girsa was hachi namim istabra, that Santer is field, not a person, because we see that only the fields that are separated by rocks are not sold, implying that the fields closer in are. So that would be the other girsa that the Rashbam brings in the Gemara. And again, Tosfos discusses that a bit, and then brings that Tosfos brings the Rabbeinu Chananel's Girsa, and the Girsa as we find it in Tosefta is that to begin with, Reb Yehuda had said the Santer is sold and the Ankomus is not sold, the opposite of the way we have it in our Gemara. And again, that would mean we don't have to do epoch, we don't have to flip anything around, but we discuss, in other words, what Reb Yehuda holds exactly. Does he in fact hold like Shimon ben Avtomos's understanding, or does he have a different understanding? And when we're saying in the end, he agrees with Reb Shimon Gamliel that when he says Santer Macher, he does agree that it means that the field near the city are sold. But he would say the Ankomus, which is a city clerk, is not sold, and that would fit with Shimon ben Avtomos's understanding of Reb Shimon Gamliel that the Santer is a city official of some kind, and because he's an Eved, he's not automatically sold with the city. Okay. The Gemara finishes off. We said in the Braisa, the loy bi, and then again within that we have a machlokas rishonim whether the halacha is bechlal like Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Rif says that not. The Rif paskins like the Chachamim. The Rosh wonders why not, given that the rule is usually the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Shach actually points out that you have a rule like this when you have sometime we'll have all over in the Gemara that an Amora will say. This Tana and this Tana and this Tana and this Tana all hold a certain way. That's called a shita. And we say usually, ein halacha k'shita, the halacha is not like that string of Chachamim. Well, later on, in the next parak, we're going to have something like that, where the Gemara is going to mention that where Abaye is going to give a list of Chachamim who hold this concept that when you sell something, you sell all the Tashmishim with it, and Reb Shimon Gamliel is on that list. That itself implies that Halacha is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, so that's reason enough to say that the Halacha is not like it. Okay. Now, we said in the Braisa, we said when you sell a city, you haven't automatically included the enclosures that are used to keep wild animals or birds or fish. So the Gemara says, you have a contradiction there. Braisa says, if the city has outlying villages, suburbs, then they're not sold with it, like the Chachamim had said, not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. On the other hand, on the other hand, if the city had a certain area in the sea, so the city or in the sea or the lake or whatever, so in other words, so the city is located next to the sea, for example, and you have a certain amount of the sea, a beach over there, and then you have an area extending out into the sea that also legally belongs to that city, and it's called like part of the city. The Chelek Echad BeYabosha would also be similarly that they have there's an area on land which is outside the city, but it's still called by the name of the city. Actually, Chelek Echad BeYam would be not so much the sea itself, but rather, let's say you have an island right off the coast, which is also called by the name of the city. So like you have nowadays, for example, say or Miami and other places, you have islands that are located in the bay over there, and they're still thought of as part of the city. So those would be included. Chelek Echad BeYabosha would be the same thing. It's on the mainland, and you have an area outside the city, but it's still called by the name of the city. So those are different. Those are not the same. Those are not the same as Bnei Seha. Another example is if you have bivrim shel chayav shel ofis shel dogim, or if you have enclosures for wild animals or birds or fish, then they are sold with it. So here we had before the braisa saying that the bivrim are not sold, and that was according to the chachamim, and here we're saying the bivrim are sold with it. So what is it? So the answer is like Kasha, hodin negiach ki'ihi l'goy. It depends whether the opening of the bivrim is facing towards the city. Negiach means the ability to go in there. The Rivan translates it, it comes from the word yagiach, which means like to rush forward. When you rush forward into that bivrim to trap an animal or whatever, you go in through the entrance. So therefore the entrance is called negiach. Ke'ihi means that it stands like koi in Gemara Loshen. So when that faces legoi, legav, meaning inside, facing towards the city, then they're included in the sale. As opposed to if the opening to this bivrim faces in a different direction from the city, then it's not included in the sale. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean though? We said that the Braisa had said you haven't included the forests that are muktzin for it, which for Pashtus, what we mean is that those forests, they have a fence around them, and the opening in the fence opens towards the city, and therefore people go directly from the fence, directly from the city into the forest. So why should it be that with the forest, even though the entrance to the forest directly faces the city, it's not sold? And with the bivrim, we're saying if the opening of it faces the city, then it is sold. What's the difference? And the answer is ela ema hamuktzin mimen. The answer is no. The Braisa didn't mean hamuktzin la, which are reserved for it, but rather hamuktzin mimena, that are separated from it, in the sense that the opening of the forest is not directly towards the city, but rather in a different direction. So therefore, so we're being consistent. When you have something outside the city, you have a resource like that, a forest or a bivrin, where the opening of it faces towards the city, then it's sold with the city. But if it faces in a different direction, then it is not.